All right. Welcome, everyone. We're going to get started shortly. We are live. We've got 37 participants. So far, we had almost 175 sign up. Thanks for joining me. My name's Scott Love. We'll start in about another minute, and this is being recorded. And if you signed up, you will get a copy of the email. And then we'll send it to you. We'll send you the recording. And I'm going to start off with a poll. Let me create a poll. I've only used Zoom webinar once before. First question. Have you ever been ghosted? Have you ever been ghosted by a candidate? Kind of an easy question. Choice one. Let's just do yes. See, we haven't started yet, so give me some time. Don't worry. Choice number two is no. All right, so let me save this. I'm going to run this. All right, here we go. Let's launch that poll. I think I'm doing it right. Oh man, maybe not. I don't know. Okay, I'm trying new things today. All right, let me try this. Let me see if I can do this again. Polls. Here we go. Okay, well, that's it for the poll. It's 1 o'clock. We're going to get started. Today's topic class is candidate ghosting. How do you manage this? Let me give you some perspective. And hold on just a second. Let's see, I think. Okay, I'm going to enable Q&A. And if you have been ghosted by a candidate, and see, I'm trying to figure out Zoom. Here we go. Somebody's raised their hand. Yep. I get it. Yep. Raise your hand if you've been ghosted by a candidate. Oh, yeah. It happens all the time. 14, 19, 20. Welcome to the club. So I'm going to give you some ideas. Here's some perspective. I've been in the business since 1995, and there was this arc that I've seen in terms of this issue of candidate ghosting. Back in the day, people would train on tactics. They would talk about this is rebuttal number 34, and this is what you say if they say this. And then it moved to technology. And I think post-COVID, the word of the day is empathy. How do you develop empathy and trust with people? So I've been studying this business. A lot of people, they said, where did you go? After 2016, I actually had a training company. I actually sold it and just kept my head down and made placements, and that's all I did. I wasn't doing any training or speaking or anything up until about a year and a half ago. I spoke at a Sanford Rose conference, about 400 people there. 30 of them came up and said, hey, your videos back in the day really helped me. Thank you for that. And I thought, I want to get back into this a little bit. So I've been doing a little bit more. And so far this year, I want to thank the National Association of Personnel Services for booking me for their conference this fall. Thank you for Sanford Rose for booking me last year. I've done work with Maxwell Management, Matura Farrington, Ryzen, the Tolan Group, the Elite Recruiter Podcast. Thank you, Ben, for that. Pride Staff, GA Rogers Associates, Sanford Rose Associates, Zing, PeopleLink. Also, I did spoke at Top Echelon's National Conference last week, National Personnel Associates, a webinar for them a few weeks ago. And then one of my favorites was Titan Placement, where did you know that it's possible for people that have received good training, that don't have previous recruiting experience, to bill up to $50,000 a month within their first 12 months in the business. Yes, that's possible. But I appreciate their business and making that investment in the training. And so I'm back in it a little bit. I'm not taking my focus off of search. So I found that making placements after COVID has helped me to understand how different things are today and how that impacts how we deal with our candidate relationships. So the theme that I've noticed for successful recruiters is three things. It's about wisdom, it's about discipline, and it's about resilience, those three themes. One part of recruiting impacts the other in terms of how you recruit, how do you sell, how do you take a search assignment, how do you close a deal. Every part of that process impacts all the others. But things have changed. From back in the day, it was all about scripts and tactics, and then we thought technology was going to save us. But it's really about empathy. It's about earning trust with people. Artificial intelligence, how is that going to help us? I think the perspective of any sort of technology should be helping you to build a relationship with people. Maybe you can scale it. Maybe you can accelerate the development of that. Maybe you can deepen the relationship with that. That is the whole goal, especially in an industry like ours. So, this new age, COVID changed the way people talked to strangers. How are you? I'm not doing okay. I'm not either. Do you feel safe? No, I don't feel safe. The walls came down quickly, and I think we learned how to connect. That's when I started, and check this out, the podcast, the Rainmaking podcast. We've almost got over almost 200 episodes on that. I produce it because I recruit rainmakers, but it also applies to anybody in professional services. And when I first started interviewing people right after COVID, what's different? And they said, people are more trusting now. And the way to approach people is not to approach them with, I'm here to sell you something, because then the walls go up quickly. But it's about one thing, curiosity. How can I help you? Yes, but so what? I've got a candidate that said she trusts me, and I pitched an opportunity to her, and now she's not calling me back. She's ghosting me. And this is here we are. So even the concept of feeling ghosted, that in itself, there is, I wouldn't call it a flaw, but I would call it a dysfunction in how we consider being ghosted. And let me get to that in a second. But I've coached hundreds of people. I've trained literally thousands of them. I'm the only trainer that's billed big numbers, the only one that's done post-COVID placements. My last call to a client was this morning. My next candidate call is in about 24 minutes, hopefully moving forward to an offer. So I'm in it. And in the lifespan of someone that becomes truly successful, like billing 500K to a million plus, there are three aha moments that they have in the course of their career. One of them is they figure out they can't control people. They realize all those things about candidate control and client control, you just can't control people. Secondly, they stop counting money in their head before the deals close. Don't spend it. I feel like I lost $40,000 when that deal didn't close. Well, that's because you spent the money in your head. And you can't think about things that you own that you don't yet have. So don't spend it. And then third, and this is key, and this applies directly to the concept of ghosting. They finally figure out that the placement, the recruiter figures out the placement isn't about the recruiter. It isn't about you. And I'm telling you that with heart and concern and love for you, that it's not about you. Get your own self-interest out of the way of the placement. But how am I going to make money? Then think of it like this. Recruiting is a derivative success process. The only way you can become successful is by creating that mutual satisfaction of needs between two people, and that's it. The deal's either going to happen or it isn't. And I want it to happen for me. I know you do. But the best way you can do that is to earn the trust of both sides, the candidate and the client, and to nudge them forward so that their goals are realized. I believe you need to tell every candidate something like this, and I'll get specifically into WordTracks here in a second. But I'll give you an example. I tell every candidate I'm working with, the only thing that counts is that you do what's in your own best interests. If that's with my client, that's fine. If that's with something else, that's okay. All I ask is that you keep me posted on that. And if I can help you, keep me in mind. And so let's kind of unpack this. I think the concept of ghosting, when I say I've been ghosted by a candidate, that is not the most effective way to look at this because it puts you at the center. Ancient China thought they were the center of the universe, that the sun revolved around them. And I think all of us are kind of like that a little bit, and it's hard to get out of that because of ego. By the way, Ego is a killer of business deals. Don't make decisions based on ego. I have had to make some really hard decisions lately. And I'm asking myself, am I making that on ego? I don't think I am. If you are, it's going to work out. I mean, I've seen the end of that movie. It's not going to end well. But when we put us at the center, that's when we make incorrect decisions. When you feel ghosted, well, it's not about you being ghosted. Let's dig through that a little bit deeper. And by the way, I started a program called the Placement Club 9 months ago. It was going to be free plus a paid membership. I eliminated the free portion of that because it was just ambiguous, and I just don't have time to keep creating a lot of free content. I'll do a free webinar once a month, but for people willing to make an investment, it's the price of a nice meal that I'm doing 4 sessions a month every Monday at 1 o'clock Eastern. I've been doing that ever since June or July of last year. I had a similar program to this from 2009 to 2016, about 7 years. Every Monday for an hour, I was there. We did it by what's called a conference call. Think of Clubhouse. Oh, Clubhouse is so cool. Yeah, it's just a conference call. That's all it is. Don't get too excited. But it forced me to dig deep into thinking about recruiting. And I want to thank you for being here today because this puts pressure on me to have to come up with ideas on how do we solve this issue of candidate ghosting. And I want to thank you for that because I'm solving my own problems here with you. I'm right there in it. Why is that? Because I'm actively doing deals. So I want to thank you for that. It puts pressure on me to have to find out solutions. And I want to share those with you. So that is the first part when we realize it isn't about us. So where are we with this candidate? You have somebody that's in a relationship with you, a candidate. Maybe you've talked with them once, you sent them a LinkedIn message, an email, a voicemail message, they called you back, you found out what's missing in their career, what their frustrations are. You have presented the opportunity to them, and they're interested, and they don't get back to you. Sound familiar? So I think that I kind of grew up in my young life, and let me say this, recruiting and dating are very similar. I think I went through a lot less heartbreak as a young man when I realized that a kiss is not a commitment. I think that we as recruiters misinterpret this conversation that we have with this candidate that there was some implied commitment, yes, on our part, but not theirs. And when I realized a kiss is not a commitment, oh man. I mean, I'd fall in love every weekend. I quit the Naval Academy almost about 5 times because of some girl I met. It wasn't worth it. Thank God I didn't. Thank God they all dumped me, you know? And I think recruiting and dating are just like that. When we overestimate the commitment from a conversation, but I told him about the opportunity. Yeah, and he doesn't remember your name. Okay, sorry. So we pitched the job. They disappear. Where'd they go? Why would they do this to you? No, they're not doing it to you. That's incorrect thinking. And I'm just being honest with you. I'm trying to save you 20 years of heartbreak. It's not about you. So why would they do this to you? In my email to you, I said there's 3 reasons. There's actually four. There's a bonus reason. Number one, they don't trust you. No offense, they just don't. They don't know how cool you are. They just haven't figured that out yet. They don't trust you. Understand that their knowledge of you and your core values is limited. There's no commitment to you. You had a conversation, it was just a kiss. There was no commitment. So why do you assume they owe you anything? I think that we as recruiters believe that we have the right and the entitlement to closure. And I think we have to lose that. I think we have to let go of that a little bit. Secondly, the candidate doesn't want to move or it's not an immediate priority. They thought you could take the hint. Yes, I'm interested. I'll check it out. I'll get back to you. Oh, what'd you think? No response. Well, you said you're interested. Oh, yeah. Okay. I'll get back to you. You know what that means? It's like she said she wanted to go out with me, but she's not returning my calls. And every time I see her, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm busy. I couldn't take the hint. I couldn't take the hint. Again, story of my life, right? I couldn't take the hint. So think of it like this. And I don't mean this to sound rude or crass or hurtful, but many times we are seen by candidates as nothing more than a utilitarian tool to accomplish a goal. That's it, to accomplish a career goal. Sometimes that's all they see us. We want it to be that relationship, like Jerry Maguire. Give me a hug, man. Thank you. You changed my life forever. We want that. No, thanks for the job. What was your name again? I'll call you in 2 years if I move. Right. We think that there was implied commitment to each other. It's just a kiss, no commitment. And then number three, they don't feel a need to convey the backstory to you. They don't feel that they need to tell you that another recruiter called me about another option 2 days before you. They don't need to tell you that. Unless we have what? A real relationship where we go deep and we set some expectations in our commitment. Let's talk about our boyfriend-girlfriend relationship. When you've had that conversation, then yes, there is commitment with your romantic life, and same thing with candidates. Let's talk about our relationship here. And we'll get to that in a second. And what's interesting about me getting back into training a little bit is that it's intensely satisfying to go and to nerd out in recruiting and to go deep. And when you make a commitment to yourself to go deep, it is extremely intellectually satisfying. When you go deep and you study, it's just a conversation with Kent. How deep can we go? My goodness. When you go deep and you go into the psychology, then you go into the different frameworks and the structure and the expectations and the onboarding process. Wow. We can nerd out. So what can you do? There are a few things that you can do. And I said this is going to be a 15 to 20 minute webinar. It's probably going to be like 20 plus. And I'm sorry, we won't have time. I thought we might have time for Q&A. Usually on the paid webinars I do, for example, on May 15th, I haven't announced it yet. I'm doing a 1 hour webinar on first contact with candidates. What do you say? How do you get them to call you back? What do you say in the first process? In fact, I'm going to give you a flowchart that you can use on how every conversation goes in that first conversation. That's going to be on May 15th. We'll make the announcement. If you've gotten the email for this, you'll get the email for that. But it's amazing how deep you can go. But what can you do with the candidate? Two gifts and an ask. You're talking with them, pitch the opportunity. Okay, I'll think about it. Maybe let's talk Wednesday. I'll send you some data. Terrific. Let's say, or let's just say it's someone that you've talked with and you've pitched the opportunity and it doesn't sound that interesting to them. And you're pretty much ending the relationship. I mean, you're not ending it, but no, I think I'm happy. I don't want to move. I would recommend give them two things. Number one, give them something that you wrote. Give them a gift. In our placement club, every Monday at 1, we do an hour. I do training for 15, 20 minutes, then Q&A. For the rest of the time. And yesterday our topic was meeting with clients and thank you notes to clients. And someone said, if I was going to meet with a client, what should I give them? And I said, something that you made. Maybe it's cookies or something like that. I'm an artist. I do thank you notes to all my clients with my watercolors. Instead of me sitting on the corner trying to sell these for $5 a pop, I build relationship with my clients by writing a thank you note on the back of something that I made. When we give people things, it's a gift. And I think it helps the relationship grow. So what can we give a candidate? Give them an article that you wrote on 5 tips to career success in healthcare. And if you didn't feel like writing something, if you don't feel comfortable with that, put another web page on your website or a LinkedIn page with some curated content. You found several articles, maybe a podcast interview from a management consultant or a career coach, not another recruiter, on what a healthcare professional can do to manage his or her career effectively. And you give them something. What was nice talking with you, Jerry. I hope we can keep in touch. Sure. Before we go, I want to give you something. Oh, what is that? A pair of Ginsu steak knives. No, I want to give you something. An article that I wrote on the best practices of managing your career. If you've got a personal email, I'd be happy to send that to you so we can keep in touch. Sounds great. Thank you. You gave them something. And then you want to give them something else. You can tell them this. Anytime you get a raise or a bonus and you don't want to leave your company, I'd be glad to be a resource for you. Even if you don't want to leave your company, anytime you get a raise or a bonus, call me and I'll tell you how that compares to other people. Consider me a resource for you. Wow, thank you. And then try this out. If you feel comfortable with it, you've given them something based on the principle reciprocity. What can they give you back? Maybe referral, but maybe this, maybe first right of refusal. Say, terrific. And I hope that any point, whenever you're ready to look at options, or at least hear about them, all I ask is that you call me first, because I can help you as I'm plugged into my niche and I keep my ear to the ground. I know you have other relationships with other headhunters. All I ask is that you call me first, because I'm plugged into my network and I can help you. Okay, sure. Boom. You've increased the odds a little bit of having them keep in touch with you. So, two things we can do with candidates so they don't ghost us. One of them, two gifts and an ask. And the second one is this: release them in the future. Release them in the future. I think a reason why people will ghost you, we talked about before, they don't trust you. They just really don't trust you. Or it's not a priority. Or they don't feel the need to convey the backstory to you. Or they feel pressured by you. Those are really four reasons why they're ghosting you, but they're not thinking, I'm going to ghost this recruiter. I'm going to do this to you. No, they're thinking about themselves. Trust me. But you want to release them in the future. Let's say that your candidate, and I really think as part of your onboarding process, I really think you need to have this as part of your conversation at some point. As we go forward, if this opportunity isn't for you, just tell me that. The only thing that matters to you is that you do what's in your own best interests. All I ask is that you're honest with me about that. Does that sound fair? Sure. And based on the principle of verbal agreements, we can build in commitment to each other, a commitment to do what? To at least be honest with each other. Now, one final thought I have for you is, what if this was actually a benefit to you? What if you could actually consider candidates who are ghosting you a benefit? How do we get to that point? One thing that we've been working on in my own company is disqualifying people. Save time. If they're not a qualified buyer, don't put them in your process, meaning they're not sincerely interested in hearing about other options. They're not dissatisfied with their current situation. Save time. Put your time in with people that are wanting to move. So if someone does ghost you, then consider it a win. Sometimes no answer is your answer. But let's just say you've talked with a candidate and they say they're interested. You pitch some opportunities. I'll think about it. And then they don't get back with you. We need to lose our sense of entitlement to closure, but you still want that. This is how you can get that and use it to your advantage. Number one, tell them this: I know you're busy, so if I don't hear from you by the end of the week, I'll assume that the timing doesn't work for you right now, or that you found another opportunity. Either way, I'll let my client know that. So no worries. If I don't hear from you by Friday at the end of the day, I'll assume that you're not interested in that opportunity, and I'll let my client know that. And all I ask is that we keep in touch with each other. If it becomes a priority, I hope that we can talk again. And so you're not doing it in a manipulative way. It's like, I'm doing you a favor. I know you're busy, so don't call me if you're not interested. And if they don't call you, then you have your answer. It will happen. It's just about mitigating the risk. Now, a couple of things I want to share with you. One of them is this. Right now, this week, I have a couple of opportunities for you. If you go to theplacementclub.com, and you go to live seminars, click under private client learning. If you have a group of people and you want me to do some development with you, and I don't like to call it training as much because it's more teaching and learning. And for groups like this, not with experienced people, I would say find other resources or go to my YouTube channel. Just type in Scott Love Recruiter Training on YouTube and you'll find it. But for people that are on the cusp of building big things, I always say, if you invest a dollar with me, you're going to get $20 back. And that's a promise in terms of ROI. Invest time with me, not to exceed 8 people at a time. Maybe a little bit less than that is actually ideal. This week, you'll save $500. Expires midnight. The other one, one-on-one coaching. I normally charge $3,500 for 6 one-hour sessions. They're all on Zoom. This week, if you order that up, it's a time bank. You can use that later, but let's start now. 1 hour at a time. We record those. I send that to you. Some people, they want to focus on a specific outcome, such as I want to start a podcast. I've done that. I'm actually producing my 5th podcast now. They want to start a podcast. They want to get guesting opportunities on a podcast. How do they do that? I will teach them how. There's one private equity headhunter in London we've coached with for some very specific client development outcomes that will help him eclipse his competition. That also, you save $500 on that as well. And then the final thing I'll tell you, I don't have any deals for this, but consider the Placement Club. Take a tour. Go to the link that says about the Placement Club. I've started doing monthly webinars again. You get those included in your membership. It's $97 a month for a month-to-month commitment. And every Monday at 1 o'clock, we meet. That's all the information that's there today. Thank you for listening. You'll get a copy of this recording. And like I said, those discounts expire midnight this Friday. So you've got time to talk with your colleagues about that, to get an action plan in place. Make sure it's in your budget. As long as you process that by the end of the week, I'll reach out to you and we will talk about that. And thank you, everybody. Thank you for attending. I will chat with you later. Thanks so much for your time, and I look forward to talking with you again soon. Take care. Bye.